everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance, where we are crazy enough to believe the world can change, with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio. I'm so excited to get back and just jump into the topics I have for you guys today, and I would just be absolutely insane if I did not bring up Amy Coney Barrett and her confirmation hearing that has happened this week. And so can I just first bring up that a lot of people are starting to call her ACB, and I just don't think she deserves a cool three-letter name yet. RBG put in a lot of work over a lot of years, and so I think she's worked for the right of RBG. And nothing wrong with Amy Coney Barrett. I haven't seen a lot of her yet, but I just don't think she's deserved a three-letter name yet. So I will keep calling her Amy Coney Barrett by her government name. And I mean, I just don't think she deserves ACB yet, but a lot of people are calling her that. So as we all know, Amy Coney Barrett is President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court justice, which is so controversial right now, and mostly Republicans are saying, yeah, let's confirm her, and Democrats are saying, no, definitely no, wait until a president has been chosen, because we are so close to the election, like so close. Let me just get off topic and say, if you are not registered to vote, go register to vote. But we are so close to the election. It is insane. There are only 3 Tuesdays left until election day. Can you believe that? I definitely cannot. So this past week, Barrett sat for nearly 20 hours while getting questioned by 22 members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And wow, that's a long time. And she definitely proved herself to be coherent. She proved herself to remain calm. And she definitely is cohesive and able to answer everything about law. And when asked, what are you writing on? What notes did you bring? She just held up a blank notepad, which I think is really commendable, because she wasn't looking at anything and she had to talk for such a large amount of time. So Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham stated, "This is probably not about persuading each other unless something really dramatic happens. All Republicans will vote yes and all Democrats will vote no, and that will be the way the breakout of the vote." And so I think this is really interesting, because I agree with Lindsey Graham. I agree that all Democrats will vote no and all Republicans will vote yes. And I think this is because, speaking as a Democrat, of course not for all Democrats, I don't find the inherent confirmation of Barrett disheartening. I find the timing of her confirmation disheartening, as I feel confirming Barrett before the election truly, truly does deprive the American people from choosing their future. Because when you choose a president, you also choose who the president is choosing. And so I just don't think if we confirm Amy Coney Barrett before the election, that choice may not be reflective of America's choice that they are making on November 3rd. So I think it's very important that we wait. It's not a long time to wait either. It's not. And so I think it's very important that we wait until after November 3rd when we know who the president is to confirm a Supreme Court justice. And I just think it would be unfair, and it's just not right. And so if Trump wins in November and chooses to appoint Barrett, I will have no issue with that, because democracy will be practiced correctly and the American people will have a choice. So just back to the confirmation hearing. I sidetracked a little bit, but back to the confirmation hearing. The hearing unfortunately did not unveil very much over Baird's views on major legal issues such as healthcare, abortion rights, voting rights, and gun rights, although we have learned that she is an originalist and that she believes the role of a justice is to adhere to the text of statutes rather than interpret or make policy from the bench, which I think is very interesting. And I think a lot of people think differently on this, and it's a very controversial that she says this, because if we look at Roe v. Wade and we look at Brown v. Board of Education, these are super precedent cases where they have made the law of the land. Well, maybe not Roe v. Wade, but Brown v. Board of Education, they've made the law of the land. And so it's interesting that she says, you know, justices don't ultimately make policy from the bench. But just because they don't make policy doesn't mean they're not very influential in policy in how they rule. And I think rulings on cases have ultimately been able to progress America. And so it's very interesting to me that she says that. And while I'm not saying Bear is unqualified or unfit to be Supreme Court justice, I just don't think an originalist Supreme Court judge is going to allow America to be very progressive. And so I think it's important to mention that Barrett chose to decline to answer several impactful questions similar to many judges that have gone through the confirmation process, but it's interesting that she chose to not answer several questions pertaining to super huge precedents and super huge laws and things that would really define her career as a Supreme Court judge. And so Barrett utilized the Ginsburg rule several times throughout the confirmation, stating this meant no hints, no previews, no forecasts. Barrett refused to say whether she would overturn Obamacare or not, which I assume she would, because we have to remember President Trump's agenda. President Trump would like Obamacare overturned. He's tweeted this before. And so I would assume if Trump is attempting to appoint Amy Coney Barrett, that Amy Coney Barrett would be able to give him the vote he needs to overturn Obamacare. She also declined to say if climate change was a threat, which I personally think it is, and I think it's an important threat that we need to deal with quickly before we face repercussions that we are not able to fix. And so she also declined to say if separating families at the border is appropriate or not. And to me, this question is very yes or no. A lot of the questions asked during the entirety of the hearing were very yes or no, but it was interesting to watch how she kind of dodged these questions and said, you know what, I would have to see the situation and make a ruling on it. And yes, I agree on several things. You have to see a certain situation and rule on that. But when asked broad questions, such as is separating families at the border appropriate or not, that's just yes or no. Is it appropriate or is it not appropriate? I don't think there needs to be a broader understanding of this. And so many people, especially Democrats, have suggested she would be similar to Justice Scalia, who Barrett clerked for and stated was her mentor. Although within the confirmation, she stated, quote unquote, "If I were confirmed, you'd be getting Justice Barrett, not Justice Scalia." And it's very interesting that within the confirmation, she wanted to downplay how much she looked up to Justice Scalia, because prior to confirmation, she actually stated how Justice Scalia is her biggest role model and her mentor, and how it meant so much to clerk for him. And so I would assume that if someone is your mentor, you would look up to their ideals as well. So I think she's almost downplaying her conservatism throughout the entirety of the hearing to look more approachable to Democrats and Republicans alike. And I just find everything so interesting. And ultimately, I have no problem with Amy Coney Barrett being a Supreme Court justice if she's appointed in the correct fashion. And I just think less than a month before Election Day is wrong to be appointed before the American people have a say in who they ultimately want to run the country. So I really hope that she is not appointed before Election Day, because that would just be wrong, and ultimately the American people would just be losing, because they would lose their voice if that happened. Thank you so much for listening to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution. I will be right back when I talk about Biden and Trump's town halls. Hey everyone, welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio, where we are crazy enough to believe the world can change. So let's just talk about Biden and Trump's town halls, which you may have watched earlier this week. They were really interesting and they were really different from each other. I originally watched Biden's town hall and then I watched Trump's town hall, and it was crazy to me. I was watching two separate programs that had such a different feel. They were just two different vibes, I guess. And so it was a terrible situation. Let's just address that, because Americans could solely pick one town hall to view, just like I had to watch Trump's later, because this happened after Donald Trump chose to schedule his town hall in the same time block as Joe Biden's town hall. I think this was definitely done purposely. He had to know when he was scheduling it. He was scheduling it at the same time as Joe Biden's town hall, and I think this was to deter people from watching his town hall and to watch Donald Trump's town hall, which I don't know if that worked. I haven't looked at how many people watched Joe Biden's town hall in comparison to how many people have watched Donald Trump's town hall. But again, the American people are really the only losers in this situation, because they can only pick one town hall to view. And I think it's important when voting in an election or just living in a country to be informed. I think ultimately it's way more important to be informed than opinionated. And so when you schedule two town halls at the same time, you strip the American people from being able to be informed, unless they go out of their way to record it and watch it afterwards, which I did, but only because being informed is so important to me. It's one of the most important things in my life, and I just think being informed is our civic duty, and our civic duty is ultimately the rent we pay for living. So I just think it was really a bad thing to happen to the American people. And so I hope that if there's ever a situation where there needs to be two town halls again, hopefully there is not, and nobody else gets coronavirus, hopefully there's not this situation again, but that they will be able to figure it out and make sure that the town halls are scheduled in two different time blocks, so that Americans, that especially undecided Americans, are able to watch both town halls. And so let's just talk about Trump's town hall on Thursday, and then I will subsequently get into Biden's town hall on Thursday. So Trump stated that science is still out on wearing masks, even though health experts everywhere across the globe, honestly, have stated wearing masks can mitigate the spread of coronavirus. Trump also refused to answer why he retweeted a video stating Osama bin Laden is alive. Twitter has gotten Trump in so much trouble. so much trouble. I'm surprised that his advisors haven't just said, you know what, dude, you need to delete Twitter. It is a toxic relationship for you. So Trump also claimed, with no evidence, that ballots with his name on it were found in the trash can. It's very interesting that he brought that up. So Trump was conducting a town hall instead of the debate because he pulled out of the presidential debate after they were moved to virtual. So he did not want to participate in a virtual debate. And my conspiracy theory on this is that Trump knew he was going to perform better in a town hall style platform, and so I think that's why he really wanted to stray away from the debate, because he, let's all be honest with ourselves, he did not perform well in the last debate at all. It was terrible. And so Trump was very moderated when he answered questions from the town hall participants, which, I mean, most people would be when you're talking to people that are potentially voting for you. And so, lastly, when Trump was asked why voters should give him a second term, he said, quote unquote, "Next year is going to be better than ever before." That sounds like an amazing reason for people to vote for him again, because he said that. So let's talk about Biden. When Biden was faced with the controversial statement he made, "You ain't black," he simply just addressed the policies he would implement that would significantly improve people of color's lives, which I think is really important when there's controversy in the media to not address it, but don't let it overcome policy. So when there's this scrutiny in the media and that's all they're talking about, for example, Hillary's emails, I think it's important to address it and say, yeah, I shouldn't have done that, but to also say policy that would be implemented to make sure that wouldn't happen again. And so this is exactly what Biden has done, is he's specifically talking about policy that would be able to help minority Americans, which I think, as a minority myself, is so important. He stated he would triple Title I funding for low-income schools, help first-time homebuyers with a $15,000 credit for down payment so that low-income families would be able to build wealth, which I think is amazing and would be able to help so many people. So Trump's campaign senior advisor, Mercedes Schlapp, tweeted during Biden's town hall that watching it feels like I am watching an episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And I think that is exactly the tone Biden was going for, honestly. I don't know about you guys listening out there, but I love Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and I love watching it, and I love the feel of watching it, and I think comparing Joe Biden to Mr. Rogers only helped Joe Biden, because who doesn't like Mr. Rogers? Democrats and Republicans alike both like Mr. Rogers, because what is there to complain about Mr. Rogers? So one thing Biden didn't really clarify well was the packing of the courts. And so even though Biden stated he is not a fan of court packing, he said this situation is very dependent on several factors to really reach a decision, which I agree with that. But at the same time, when you're a presidential candidate and this is a hot topic, you need to have a clear and cohesive answer and a definitive answer of that as well, because it's so yes or no. Are you going to pack the courts? Are you not going to pack the courts? And I understand that it's very based on the situation, but at this point in time, we know the situation. So overall, as I mentioned before, I think it was terrible that both town halls were scheduled within the same time block, because it's so hard. It was hard, honestly, for me to choose. Do I want to watch Trump's town hall? Do I want to watch Biden's town hall? So I think next time, if this ever happens again, they need to be in a different time block. And I liked how there was more policy talk instead of arguing this time. And of course, that's because of the format. And especially I loved how Joe Biden was able to get across his points without getting interrupted. And so that made a lot more time for him to talk about the policies he's going to implement if he is elected president. And I really think this town hall is able to make, especially undecided Americans, make a decision, because we really got to see Trump's character. We got to see Biden's character as they were by themselves on the stage and really were allowed to be themselves. And so I liked this format, and I thought we were able to get more out of this format than the prior presidential debate. And so I think if this is done again, the only complaint I would have is to make sure they're scheduled at different times. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution. I will be right back when we talk about early voting. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can actually change. And you are listening on the one and only Penguin Radio. If you are just tuning in now or just catching the show now, we are going to be talking about early voting. And so I really like early voting, and I'm going to be voting early, and I hope everybody looks into their options and figures out a plan to vote and really considers what is the best route I should take. And for me, that is early voting. I'm going to be going to the polls in person and voting early. But if you feel mailing in your ballot is safest or best for you, then mail in your ballot. If you feel as though voting in person on election day is the best for you, then do that as well. For me, it is voting in person, and I am so glad that I have the opportunity to vote in person and that I am able to. And I know that so many people have fought for my right to vote in person, and I personally vote because so many people do not have the opportunity to, and so many people are, there's too many people silenced for me to remain silent on issues that really matter. And if I really want my voice heard, and if I really want to participate in our democracy that requires participation, then I must vote. That's my civic duty. And I think I said it earlier in the show that a civic duty is our rent for living. And it's so important to participate in our democracy, because our democracy requires participation. So I really do hope that everybody takes advantage of their right to vote. And if you are not able to vote, then I still think it's important to be informed. And I just think it's important to vote because there's so many people who aren't able to. And so I really urge you, if you have the right to vote, and even if you're not registered yet, look at your state guidelines and see if you're still able to register. I know in the state I live in, you are still able to register and cast your vote for who you want to be president. And not even who you want to be president. There's so many other issues on the ballot, so many other people to elect on the ballot. And I think sometimes we get caught up in just saying, well, I don't really know if I want to vote for Joe Biden or Trump. But it's so much more than that. When you vote for Joe Biden, you don't only vote for Joe Biden. You vote for who you want on the Senate. You vote for who you want in so many other places. And then also, I think it's important to vote the entire ballot as well, and really look up the propositions that you and how you want to vote on those propositions. I know for me, I still haven't turned in my ballot yet, just because I'm still looking up and I'm still talking to people and I'm still deciding how I want to vote on propositions, and I really want to be informed before I make a decision on how I'm going to be voting on propositions. So I take voting so seriously. And if you are looking for guidance or if you want to talk about propositions or anything like that, there's so many resources out there. And I know where I live, I can go on a site and it just tells me, you know, what these propositions are about. And I'm able to see what one side thinks and what the other side thinks. So really just look for resources if you're confused on how to vote or if you don't have the resources to. There are so many places to look. And so, again, just make your voice heard, because so many people don't even have a voice. And so I think it's really important, if you're given something, to utilize it. And so let's just talk about early voting right now, and how it's affecting the election and what's happening. So Democratic leaders have actually been urging Biden supporters to show up in huge numbers and vote early in this year's election, while many are concerned that nothing short of a decisive victory will prevent Republican President Donald Trump from contesting the results and potentially opening the way for state legislators, the courts, or Congress to decide the outcome. And so I think it's so interesting that these Democratic leaders, they're saying have faith in the democratic process while simultaneously saying and admitting that a landslide might be the only way to prove to the defiant Donald Trump that these results are accurate. And so I find it ironic that they're saying, you know, trust the democratic process, but we'll also need a landslide to prove to the president of the United States that these, you know, results are correct. And so I'm not funny, because I find nothing funny that's happening. I find things that are happening right now not funny, but saddening, that this is the reality of this election. And it's so weird, and on so many levels I just remind myself that this is not normal. If you look back to past elections, recent past elections, this is definitely not normal. And so I just find it interesting, and I think we have to remember that, you know, this democracy that we live in requires participation, and again, that we just have to participate to make sure that this, our democracy is running properly, because without participation, our democracy can't run properly. And so it's sad that in order to show Donald Trump that he has lost, we have to win in a landslide, but it is what it is, as Donald Trump says. And so I think it's amazing that nationally, 14.6 million people have already cast ballots by mail or through in-person voting. And think about 4 years ago, and only 1.4 million at the same point voted. And so I think it's amazing that only in 4 years, so many more people are voting, and we're just at the beginning. Think about how many votes are going to be cast on November 3rd or by November 3rd. And so whether you're a Republican or Democrat, I think we can all be really proud of the fact that more people are voting and more people are having their voice be heard, which is ultimately what should happen. And so let's talk about registering to vote. If you're not a registered voter, it takes about 5 minutes to register online to vote. And so registering to vote is so easy. And if you don't have a state ID, it can be a little harder, but you just have to find the right people. And there's so many resources online as well. And you can still register to vote. In some states, you cannot, but I know in my state you can. So you just have to look it up. And so Democrats are pretty much the drivers behind this voting surge. And in states that report party affiliations, party affiliation statistics, nearly twice as many registered Democrats have requested ballots than Republicans have. And this data just speaks measures. I think this voting surge is not only because, you know, there's an election. I think this voting surge is honestly because of Donald Trump and how many people are, especially within the pandemic that's happening right now, so many people are affected by what Donald Trump has done or what he has not done. And I think this is finally the turning point that people need and the last straw that people need to vote against him. And so I think it's amazing that even if you vote for Trump, I think it's amazing that more people are getting their voice heard and more people are out there. But ultimately, just go out there and vote. It's so important and it's so awesome to just be able to represent something and be able to speak for something. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe the world can change. You're listening on the one and only Penguin Radio, and I will be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can change on the one and only Penguin Radio. So for my last segment today, I just want to talk about last-minute voters and how polls are showing that they probably aren't going to pull through for Trump this time like they did in 2016. I remember weeks before the election, I was only a freshman in high school during the 2016 election, and I wanted Hillary Clinton to win so badly. I remember that's all I could talk about, and I was so passionate, and I was the nerdy kid in high school. It didn't make me very popular to be a Hillary Clinton fan at that time, but the night of the election, I remember I got out of junior varsity basketball practice. I came home, I put on my pajamas, and I just watched the polls, and I was looking at who was up and who was down, and all I could think was, Hillary's got this. All the polling places were saying Hillary's going to win. That's how it's looking. I was looking at coverage everywhere, and everyone that was covering it was saying Hillary is going to win. Now, by surprise, when I woke up, Donald Trump was our president. But it's so interesting. And a big reason why Donald Trump won in 2016 is because Donald Trump rode a wave of late deciding voters to a shocking election victory, because no one expected Donald Trump to win in 2016. That was so unexpected. Everyone was saying for weeks before, not even weeks, months before the election, Hillary has got this in the bag. But those same voters, those last-minute voters, are unlikely to rescue Donald Trump again. And so we're only less than 3 weeks until November 3rd, and Republican Donald Trump is actually trailing his Democratic rival, Joe Biden, and nationally and in battleground states. And battleground states are so important. And his campaign, Donald Trump's campaign, is counting on a surge of last-minute voters, just like they counted on they didn't know the last-minute voters were going to pull through in 2016, but they did. And so this year, they're counting on last-minute voters again, which polls show like as though they're not going to come through this time. And so polling shows Biden is holding a 10 percentage points lead nationally with a tighter margin in the battleground states that will help to decide the election. These polls are looking very, very similar to the way the 2016 polls looked, with Hillary being up as well. So even though I am hopeful, I am not giving my hopes up, because I know that crazy things can happen, and especially 2020 has taught me so many things can happen that you didn't know were going to happen. I never thought in 2020 I was going to be stuck in my house for most of the year and going to school online, but here I am. And so Kyle Condit actually said the candidate is who is behind Trump needs to win undecideds at a disproportionate rate to catch up. So if that isn't happening, he's not really cutting into Biden's lead. And so I think this is an interesting statement because so many disproportionate things happen, and that's why I'm saying I'm hopeful, but I'm not giving my hopes up because Trump is an unexpected candidate, and we can't expect normal things to happen when it comes to Trump. And so I know many people are saying, you know, he needs to win undecideds at a disproportionate rate to catch up, but disproportionate things happen with Trump. But at the same time, there's not that many undecideds. This election is so polarized that I personally do not know many people that are undecided. Maybe one or two moderates and libertarians that are like, I really don't know who to vote for. But other than that, so many people I know are either Trump or Biden. And it's this clear line between, and there's not one or the other. And so it really is one or the other. I'm sorry. It's not in between. And so it's really interesting that they're still undecided because I do not know many. And so Trump has a record. So Trump is challenging now many early votes, which I talked about in my earlier segment. Early votes are flooding in from Democratic states, and not only Democratic states, Democrats in general are just voting early, and so many Democrats are voting way more than in 2016, which I'm so happy about. Whether a Democrat or Republican, I'm just happy that people are voting. And so many states are just gearing up for huge election day crowds because, like I said, this election is like no other. Have you ever, I know I personally never lived during an election that's been during a global pandemic and with racial reconciliation happening right now. I've never lived in anything more historic than this moment. And I think this moment is so historic, and whatever happens on November 3rd is going to be memorable. And I know that. And so so polls have suggested, which I've said before, that voters have settled on their choice, and so reducing the opportunity for large late swings. And so I think that's what's really different from 2016, as well as there was more undecided voters saying, I really don't know who I'm going to vote for, just because we didn't really know what a President Trump presidency did look like, and now we really know. And especially because of the coronavirus pandemic and his response, we really know what a President Trump presidency is going to look like. 3.5 years told us what we need to know. And so I think that's really a big factor in undecided voters from 2016, this 3.5 years. Maybe those undecided voters who did vote for Trump in 2016 are now going to vote for Biden, just because we've seen what a President Trump presidency looks like. And so now we're aware of the consequences and the good things and the bad things that come out of a President Trump presidency. And so 4 years ago, at this stage of the campaign, more than twice as many people were similarly wavering between Trump and his Democratic opponent, Hillary Clinton. And it's interesting because, like I said before, I think it's because we've seen 3.5 years of a Donald Trump presidency. And so there were twice as many undecided voters trying to figure out if they wanted to vote for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And so among those voters who made up their minds in the final week of the 2016 campaign, 55% picked Trump, while 36% picked Clinton. And this is according to a Reuters poll of voters on Election Day. And so I feel as though this is going to be a lot different, and especially just because a lot of people aren't waiting until Election Day to make up their minds. A lot of people have already voted. So many people have already voted. 14 times more people at this stage in the election have already voted in comparison to 2016. And so I think that's a big factor as well, is people aren't really sitting around thinking as long who they're voting for, Biden or Trump. People are primarily voting now. I know I'm voting very soon. I haven't turned in my ballot yet, but I plan on voting early. And it's also because we're in this little thing called a global pandemic that people are just wanting to get their votes in. And I just think people are more sure in who they want to vote now more than they have been in the past. And like I've said in other sections, and like I keep saying, and I will always keep saying, please register to vote and please use your voice. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, and I will talk to you guys next week.